Good evening, and thank you for joining us. I'm Taryn Ashby, welcoming you to this live event. Tonight, Senator Judy Schwenk of the 11th Senate District will take your calls and questions on Social Security. Senator Schwenk will be joined by Executive Director of Social Security Works, Alex Bossen. If you would like to ask a question this evening, please press star three on your keypad to participate. Again, if you'd like to ask a question live with the senator and her guests, please press star three on your keypad. You can do that any time throughout this evening. Without any further delay, here's the senator.
Thank you, Taryn, and hello, everyone. This is State Senator Judy Schwenk, and welcome to our telephone town hall for our friends and neighbors within the 11th Senate District. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedule to participate in this evening's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. You'll hear us say this a lot tonight, but if you'd like to ask a question at any time during our discussion, press star three on your phone. Someone will pick up, and they will field your call and put it into the queue. As Taryn mentioned, this evening we will be discussing the topic of Social Security. Now, you know I'm a state senator, not a federal representative, not a U.S. senator, not a congresswoman, but Social Security is a federal program for sure. We have received so many questions and calls about Social Security in our office because a lot of times people just don't know where to go for answers. I appreciate that they reach out to us, but we wanted to have this town hall this evening with a real expert, not me necessarily, so you could learn more about what's happening with Social Security and get some of your questions answered. I want it to be really clear that this isn't a partisan discussion. This is just getting our questions answered about a really important program to most of us. I imagine many of you on this call are either already in the Social Security program collecting or considering it or thinking about your future retirement. So this is an important matter. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Executive Director of Social Security Works, Alex Bossen. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me, Senator.
I'm thrilled to have you because I know from listening to you have a lot of answers. Your organization does a lot of good work in terms of helping people to understand how Social Security works. And I guess my first question to you, just to get things started, would be what is all of the buzz? It's on the news all the time. What is it about Social Security that's got everybody concerned, calling my office as well as generating all of these news reports? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think unfortunately it's bad news that's causing all the press and the phone calls into your office, and I'm sure the worry that many of the folks who've called in have right now. What's happened is that President Trump has appointed Elon Musk, who is the billionaire owner of Tesla, to a position that is ill-defined, but is supposed to be looking for efficiency, but is looking in all the wrong places. So this so-called DOGE effort by Elon Musk entered the Social Security Administration and immediately started firing and reorganizing the administration. Now, let me just state this upfront. Social Security is one of the most effective and efficient programs that the United States has. It has, right now, there's 73 million people receiving benefits. This is a program that has delivered benefits on time and in full for 90 years. Nobody gives us anything with Social Security. We pay for it during our working lives. We pay into the system, comes out of our paychecks, and then it's there for us when we need it. In the case of retirement, it replaces some of our wages. in the case of a life-changing illness or injury, and a person becomes disabled and can no longer work, it replaces some of their wages. In the loss of a breadwinner, the death of a breadwinner, the surviving minor children have some of the breadwinner's wages replaced. It is an incredibly effective program, and it does all of that for less than one penny of every dollar that goes in, that's paid in to administer the entire system. It is incredibly efficient. The fraud rate in Social Security is infinitesimally low, 0.006%. If any insurance company in the private market had anything like that, they would be shouting it from the rooftops. So the fact that the Elon Musk's Doge is supposedly looking for efficiency and rooting out fraud is actually not true. But that doesn't change the fact that they've made massive changes within the Social Security Administration that has led to incredible amounts of service disruption. So people are trying to log on to the website. They can't log on to the website. They're trying to call in to the 1-800 number. They can't call in to the 1-800 number. There are reports of different changes to eligibility and the need to do certain things in the office, and then those are rescinded. Just chaos. And so people are rightly scared, and they don't know where to go to find information. They try to call the Social Security Administration, and they're finding no ability to get through. That's why it's so important that you're having this town hall serving your constituents to ensure they get the information that they need. And I want to be really clear about this. The service disruptions that we've seen so far and what all of the experts are telling us will include, at some point, the potential for people to not get their benefit checks. Now, let me just state, that doesn't mean that they won't get them because it's our money. It just means that the administration has been disrupted. And so what we're taking every opportunity to do is to tell people that they need to keep an eagle eye on their own benefit situation. Check your bank account every month. Make sure that you or your loved one's benefits are arriving in time, on time and in full.
No, Alex, you're right. They, you know, this gets deposited into your checking account. And generally, you know the date. It doesn't change every month. Isn't that correct?
That's right. Everybody's date could be different. There's not one date where
right.
all of them go. But generally, you know exactly when your check is going to be deposited. And so if you see a change in that, that's something to note. We are telling everyone to keep an eye out for any irregularity, even if it's a penny of benefits missing or a day late. That's something to actually be concerned about. And, you know, I know your office has got the well-being of your constituents highest in mind. I would also say that contacting your federal representative and two senators and talking to the constituent services side of the office, so that's the side that does casework, making sure you have their phone number, their email, making sure that they know that you're worried about receiving your benefit. And it's their job to ensure that you do, especially when it is becoming increasingly difficult to get through to the Social Security Administration itself.
You know, that's good advice, Alex. And I will tell our callers or people that are listening in that we have the phone numbers for those, you know, for our U.S. senators, both Fetterman and McCormick, as well as many of the Congress people that represent my district. So, for example, Congresswoman Houlihan or Madeline Dean. There are others as well, but, you know, that may be listening in on this, but that's generally the universe that we have. You know, it looks like the lines are lighting up, and I'm going to remind everybody that if you want to ask a question, this is the time to do it, and I won't talk too much. Press star 3 on your telephone, and then you can, be hooked up to someone that will let you get your question. Do we have any callers available right now?
Yes, Senator. We are going to go live with our first caller, and our caller is going to be John Morgan from Reading, Pennsylvania. John, you should be live.
All right.
Hi, John.
Hi, Judy. Thank you for doing this, and hello, Alex. We worked together in the past, so when I was blogging.
Great to hear from you, John.
You do some great work, Alex, so thank you for what you're doing. I have a niece with a severe medical condition who applied for SSDI a couple of years ago. She's at the administrative law judge phase, waiting for a hearing date on that. And what we're wondering is, what are the delays being caused in that program? And, you know, is there anything we could do to speed that up? What's the situation with the SSDI claims?
And this is going to be one of the times during this call, one of many, where I'm sorry to say my answer is not going to be very positive. So as people might or might not know, the United States Social Security Disability Insurance System is one of the most restrictive in our peer nations. So the only one that is more restrictive is Korea. So we deal with a system that already puts a huge burden on people. The problem is not a lot of people getting benefits, a lot of people who don't qualify getting benefits. That is not an issue. The data is all out there. Every year they publish the data. The problem is a lot of people who do qualify for benefits not being able to get their benefits in any sort of a timely manner. So this is before Elon Musk's Doge wrecking crew have really taken a chainsaw to the administration. You are dealing with, very often years of waits and delays, multiple hearings and determinations. And unfortunately, most of the severe service disruptions that we've already seen are in that part of the system, the disability insurance system, because that is the more complicated part of the system. And so, as you said, the administrative law judges, they need to review and make determinations. I can get deep into this, but people can also Google this. Some of the most disastrous changes that have been just rammed through at ridiculous speeds was reorganizing the 12 regional offices, which are sort of the more complex offices. They do the less routine work to get people their benefits. They reorganized and eliminated some of those offices. They went from 12 to 4. And a lot of the burden of those reorganizations has fallen squarely on the disability determination and review. So, unfortunately, people who are in the middle of the process are the ones who are contacting us most often right now with problems. And so this is a situation where if you are working with a third-party lawyer or case manager, you're going to want to check in on the status. And unfortunately, this is where the largest portion of the current service disruptions are occurring. People who are waiting for their determinations are doing exactly what they're supposed to do to wind their way through the process, are finding that sometimes the process is now that the office that you need to go to doesn't exist anymore. That's an actual thing that has happened. We've counted over 500 cases now of people whose the stage that they're in requires a determination from one of these regional offices that was eliminated. So the only thing that we can counsel on this is to just redouble your efforts, check into the status of your application, And if you find yourself in that situation where they're sending you to an office that no longer exists, it is going to be probably incumbent on you to actually schedule a visit with your local Social Security office, go down and talk to a Social Security employee. Problem there is that Elon Musk's so-called Doge people have pushed out or fired 7,000 workers out of 57,000 workers in the Social Security Administration. So you're dealing with really overloaded field offices and field offices and determination offices, hearings and determination offices have already been closed. So I'm really sorry to say that the burden is primarily focused on exactly the question that you're asking. And John, I'd be more than happy to talk offline individually and see if we have any case managers or anybody who could help with your specific situation.
Okay, thank you, John, for your question. We're going to need to move on because the lines are lit up here. So please throw us another question.
All righty, as a quick reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, just press *3 on your telephone at any time. We're going to go live next with Judy. Judy, you should be live.
Okay. Hi, I have a question. Apparently, there are several states, Arizona was the first, and I forget who the second was, where the Attorney General has put on their website and has opened a phone line so that anyone who's experiencing a problem can call into the Attorney General's office and log it in and perhaps get some help. It's really an effort to take a look at the entire state and see how serious or how escalating the problems are getting, with the ultimate intention that if this really falls apart, that legal action could be taken by the state to help their constituents. Is there any thought, New Jersey, I'm a New Jersey girl before Pennsylvania, is there any thought that Pennsylvania could join that?
So I can start, but Senator, that might be more of a question to you.
Yeah. I'll jump in when you're done, Alex. Go ahead.
So the attorneys general in Arizona and Michigan is the other one, have put up a portal and a resource, and we think that this is an absolutely critical step. States understandably are terrified themselves of the economic and the personal impact to people living in the states. So we do think that all the states should have something modeled on the Arizona and Michigan efforts. Hopefully there is hopefully the senator can tell me that there's some possibility of that happening in Pennsylvania.
Well, thanks, Alex. That's a good question, Judy. You know, we have a new state attorney general, David Sunday. And interestingly enough, in some of the federal, the lawsuits about contracts that the federal government has retracted and funding, that was supposed to go out, he did not enter into those lawsuits, but he gave permission to Governor Shapiro to be the party of interest in terms of representing the state. What I can do is, this is kind of a different thing, though. What I can do, though, is to contact their office and ask them if that is something that they're considering. And I'll do that in writing so that I can get an answer, specifically. We do have good connections, a good legislative liaison. So I think I can get an answer to that, but we might have to get back to you. Thanks for the question, though. Do we have another caller?
Yes, our next caller is... *3 if you want to join in the conversation. Our next caller is Valerie. Valerie, you're live.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Valerie. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I am so confused with this Musk business. I received my Social Security every last Wednesday of the month. And always check my account. But if I go into my account one day and I haven't seen my money, there's going to be a problem with me. Because that money there is to pay my mortgage. You understand? I paid into social security from my community. I do three jobs. I work three jobs. Now I'm working two jobs. I'm 68 years. I'm still working.
Wow.
And I'm paying social security. So, well, I don't want to have any problems. I don't want to have any problem because I'm going to storm social security office really bad.
I definitely understand completely frustration at the thought that your money, because that's what it is, let's be super clear, your money might be interrupted or delayed. Again, we don't know, and that's a huge part of the problem. We don't know. There's no rhyme or reason to the service disruptions that we're seeing, and so that's why we are telling people to be eagle-eyed on your own benefits. And if there is any disruption, to focus on all the remedies that are available, you know, contacting your federal electeds, the case management, the constituent services side, speaking with your senator who's hosting the call, and otherwise just making sure that if there is anything that is out of sorts, that you're noting it, because this is the important part. This is also related to what the previous caller asked with the attorneys general in Arizona and Michigan. We are absolutely clear and certain that the money is yours. There's been no legal change in the status of anybody's Social Security benefits, and there's a ton of misinformation that was already out in the world. There is nobody who ever has or can spend even a penny of Social Security money on anything other than benefits and the administration to get those benefits to the people. It is absolutely impossible for anybody to legally do that. So if there is a service disruption, we are saying you need to document that as quickly as possible in order to start the remedy process through all of the means possible, especially through your elected federal representative. But that also does it because just because it's harder to get through to Social Security Administration does not mean that you can't. And so all of the paths are what people should take. But let me just be super clear on why we're saying what we're saying. We know that people pay their mortgage, pay their rent, pay medical bills. We have people with disabilities whose care, including 24-hour nursing care, some of that is paid for by Social Security benefits. So any disruption can be incredibly disastrous to people. And so, you know, as quickly as possible, determining that there is a problem and documenting that in an official capacity is part of the way to shorten any disruption possible. And also, if it does throw off other things like paying mortgage, paying rent, showing that you are owed this money, have documented that it was disrupted and are going after a remedy is going to be important in any sort of process with a landlord or a mortgage holder or whatever, and seeing if they would you know, be willing to come to some sort of solution, knowing that you will get the money. It is legally yours. And the only thing that we're talking about is a temporary disruption of benefits. But that temporary disruption of benefits could throw someone's entire life upside down. And so what we're counseling and the reason that we're having this call is that by being as quick as possible, and noticing anything that's any disruption is going to lead to lessening the impact of that disruption. So I wish I had a better answer of how to ensure that it doesn't happen. But what we're saying and what the experts are telling us, to say is people need to protect themselves, and people need to also get in community and protect your neighbors, the most vulnerable in our communities, the oldest of the old, people with disabilities who might not have a network. They might not know about calls, teletown halls like this. It is going to be incumbent on us to take care of ourselves and our neighbors. And the good news is that this is America. We do take care of our neighbors. We do understand that when life gets difficult, we all come together, and that's where our strength comes from. So, again, my contact information is all at socialsecurityworks.org. We're a national advocacy organization, but we have connections with a lot of caseworkers and case managers and others who can help in if there are disruptions, as well as obviously the senator's office and all of the work that she's doing.
Yep. Thank you, Alex. And we will certainly have your contact information so that we can connect people as well. And I just wanted to break in on, we do have a whole bunch of calls, so I won't belabor this either, but we still do have a Social Security office in downtown Reading, and that is at 201 Penn Street. It's right at the bottom at the intersection of Penn Street and 2nd Street. So if you're coming over the Penn Street Bridge from West Reading, it's right on your left. It's that office building, and it's on the second floor. So we do still have that office. And Alex, do you recommend that there will be times that people are going to have to go in and present themselves in order to get things straightened out or even to apply?
Yes, and this is the theme of the night. Unfortunately, most offices, it's really all offices, require appointments. And to get those appointments, you actually have to be able to call in or go online and set up those appointments before you show up in person. And so the disruptions to the website and the 800 number are leading to difficulty making those in-person appointments. Now, at the end of the day, the people, the civil servants, the public servants who work at the Social Security Administration, these are some of the best people that you will find. They take great pride in the Social Security system. So if there is a service disruption, like somebody's benefit did not get paid, and then you can't get in to make an appointment, we do think that you could just go to the office. They will say, you know, you need to make an appointment. There is an ability for an office to help even without that appointment, but they will actually send people home if they show up without an appointment. That is absolutely a thing that happens. So if you do need to go into the office, we recommend that you go online, sign into your Social Security account and make schedule an appointment, or call the office and schedule an appointment. And again, if you do face difficulty in doing that, which there's been incredible numbers of people who have, it's very feasible to go to the office without an appointment and say, you know, we're having trouble making the appointment, and there's been some sort of issue with my benefits. So, yes, the offices are still opened. There are great people working in them, but the system around it is really not delivering world-class service. It's the opposite of it now, unfortunately. And so, you know, a big thing is just the time burden that people are facing to get through is also really high, hours and hours and hours, unfortunately.
Hanging on the phone. Yeah, I hear you. We have more callers. Go ahead, please.
All righty. Senator, our next caller is Mary.
Mary, you are live.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. Hello.
Hi. Want to know
your
what
question?
My... Yes. My question is, I on my tablet and my phone, I mean my tablet and my cell phone, I keep getting these messages from the Trump and that he's sending out $5,600 some dollars in Social Security to SSI and another SS. I mean, I didn't expect me to get it, and I don't care if they get it. I just want to know if that's true.
It's a scam. Alex?
Yeah, I can take that. None of those are real. There's been no extra benefits, no check, no stimulus. None of that is real. So there's a lot of this. This is one of the most grotesque things that we're dealing with. Because there's all of this chaos and disruption, there are a lot of scams floating around. So people are getting emails that say, you know, click this link to because your benefits are at risk. Do not click links that are sent to you by email. Do not click links that are sent to you by text. Social Security Administration will never call you. Never. So anybody who's calling you and saying that they're from the Social Security Administration, that is a scam. The Social Security Administration will never email you a first email, an unprompted email. They will always, official business is done by the U.S. Postal Service. So it is our strong recommendation that any contact that you get by email, by phone call or text, ignore, delete, and if you want to check on it, log into your account at ssa.gov and see if you've received an official message through your Social Security account. And the answer will be no, you have not, but you can check it there. But the Social Security Administration will never, never reach out to you by phone or by email. And so all of those links are fake and generally are scams looking to get your information, your bank account information, and it is a bunch of creditors operating in the chaos that has been caused by Elon Musk's Doge cuts and preying on people. So that is a very dangerous situation. We're seeing more and more and more of that. So again, if you get a link sent to you, you know, click here, your benefits start, do not click. Those are scams. That is not how the Social Security Administration communicates with people.
Always good in guidance. Thank you. Taryn, do we have more calls? And don't forget, *3 if you have a question. Yes, Senator. Our next caller is Emma. Emma, you are live.
Hello, I'm Emma.
Hi, Emma.
And I have a question. My husband died on February the 26th this year, and I would like to know, do I get any of his benefits from Social Security?
So that is a specific benefit question that really relies on your specific circumstance. But in general, what happens is as long as a married couple has been married for longer than 10 years, then the surviving spouse, or I'm sorry, the spouse is able to claim on whichever benefit is higher. And that is how the marriage situation works in Social Security. Now, on the death of spouse, again, who's longer than 10 years married, there is a death benefit. It is a small benefit, but there is a death benefit, and it is something that you need to actually go and call the 800 number or go into an office after making an appointment to fill out the forms. It should be automatic, and it has been automatic, but there's publish news reports. We're getting a lot of incoming communications about the automaticness of it not working at all anymore. And so this is a situation where you're going to want to contact the Social Security Administration. And it does matter of if you've claimed your benefits already, and if you claimed on your work, on your Social Security account. But this is a situation where you're going to need to be in contact with the Social Security Administration. And unfortunately, you should pencil in longer to get through to them than we would hope. So I'm sorry that is the situation we find ourselves in, but it's not everybody who's facing these long wait times. So I will say that there are people who are still able to get through. There are offices that are functioning decently normally, but we are recommending that people, as quickly as possible, when you are faced with a situation, a claiming situation, that you do start the process as quickly as possible.
Sorry for your loss, Emma. Thank you. That was a good question. All righty. Our next caller, our next caller is Emily. Emily, you are live.
Yes. Hi. I have a simple question. If you receive Social Security disability benefits, when you start to get that, do you have to pay taxes on that?
There's a couple answers to this. So the taxation of benefits is something, the federal taxation of benefits, and it is based on an income level. And then I have to look up if Pennsylvania taxes Social Security benefits as income. Some states tax it as income, and so I didn't think some states tax it as income, some do not. Pennsylvania is one that does not. So the answer is it depends on your retirement income or your income in currently with your benefits. But generally, with disability benefits, the size of the benefits are under the amount that hits the taxation levels. So that is something that you can actually find on SSA.gov under taxation of benefits. I'm pulling it up right now. But federally, Social Security benefits are taxable income over a certain level.
So, Alex, wouldn't it be important to remember, too, if you're still working or you have income coming from somewhere else, that may push you over a level in terms of paying taxes on Social Security or not?
Yes, and it's why I'm, and I don't mean to be in any way cagey about this, but I would actually direct people to the Social Security Administration website, because there are a lot of situations where people have different income coming in. Sometimes you can't have income coming in without it affecting your actual Social Security benefit as well. So people are going to want to ensure that they're following the rules and that they are operating in a way where they're maximizing their benefits that they've earned. The Social Security benefits are actually taxable income in certain situations. I could start, reading through that, but I think it's probably best if the caller go to Social Security, SSA.gov, and look up taxation of benefits, and then see where their specific personal situation puts them. And so then the short answer again is that Social Security benefits are actually taxable income in certain situations based on the amount of income that a person is making that year.
Good advice. Good question. Thank you. Do we have another caller, Karen?
Yes. As a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please just press *3 on your telephone at any time. Our next caller, Senator, is Donna. Donna, you are live.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Donna. Yes, very well.
Great, excellent. I have a question. Initially, when they were talking about making the appointments, that they needed to be made online and to show up in person. And my question is, what about people who need an ADA accommodation? There are an increasing number of us who have accessibility barriers that we are not able to do that, and we might need to make a phone call. How would we do that? Can your office help? Like, what would the procedure be?
Good question. Alex?
Operable law is that any reasonable accommodation must be made. This is your money. It's your benefits. And if a disability means that you need to use the phone to make an appointment or even show up without making an appointment, or a person needs to show up, that reasonable accommodation must be met. That being said, we are finding that there is an enormous amount of disruption specifically within the disability benefits portion, and especially within language and disability access. So one of the 12 regional offices that was eliminated, it was the first one, was the Office of Civil Rights, but that actually included disability access, accommodations, language access, a whole host of things. And the agency is still trying to figure out where some of that lands, because, again, legally, they are required to make reasonable accommodations. But we are finding and hearing that people are facing enormous burdens, specifically in this area. And so, again, what we are counseling and recommending is that people proactively create a plan for getting in touch with the administration and or their federal elected offices or state offices that will help and ensure that they are able to access their benefits in a timely manner and that the laws are being followed in terms of disability and reasonable accommodations. So the short answer is all of those laws apply, right? Reasonable accommodations must be made, and benefits are legally yours. That being said, the service disruptions that we're seeing most acutely, the one that we're seeing right now, are exactly in that area. So they're hitting people who are least able to fight back against it, who are most vulnerable in terms of, you know, disability benefits are extremely low and in many cases are the only source of income that a person has. And a large portion of those benefits go to just paying for maintaining a standard of living and keeping people out of poverty when they can no longer work due to illness or injury. That's where we're seeing the most disruptions. And so if a person is in a situation where they know they need reasonable accommodations and they know they are not able to, you know, face even a single benefit disruption, I don't want to go too much onto the editorial here, but we've seen members of this administration, the Treasury Secretary went on television and said that if his mother-in-law didn't get her check, she wouldn't complain. And only fraudsters complain. And then unelected billionaire Elon Musk went on and said the same thing, that people shouldn't complain if they miss their benefits. We think that that is an attack on the Social Security system and the American people. If you are facing any sort of disruption, you have to complain. You have to note that as quickly as possible. It's your money. And so any disruption, any inability to access the benefits due to a lack of reasonable accommodation or anything else needs to be noted in as official a capacity as possible, which again is why we are recommending people proactively create that relationship with a case manager, with a constituent services person in their federal elected office. It does not matter. This is not a partisan thing, so it does not matter who your elected representative is. They have case management. It is their duty to ensure that people are receiving their federal benefits. And offices know the vast majority of that casework is veterans benefits, Social Security benefits, and other federal benefits. That's what they do. So if you are in a position where you know you need a reasonable accommodation, we think it's really important to proactively start that process because that is where we're seeing the most disruptions, very unfortunately.
So, Alex, one thing I do want to, jump back in. Someone had called in and mentioned that, ever since COVID, actually, maybe even before then, I believe, you had to have an appointment before you walked into the Social Security office. That was protocol. That's correct, right? So I think it's important that we tell people that, but sometimes if you can't get through on the phone, you can get put on hold by a lot of different offices, right, or services. So that may not be unusual, but you do have to be persistent. We just want to be sure that people understand that was the case and that it's not, as you said, this is your money. It's not that you won't get the money, but you need to be vigilant. Would that be a good summarization of what may be happening in Social Security right now?
That is exactly correct, Senator. Before the DOGE changes and cuts at the administration, you were dealing with the Social Security Administration had a 50-year staffing low. So this is before the 7,000 people, it was a 50-year staffing level low. And so dealing with that, there was this layer put on, which as an advocate at Social Security Works, we don't agree with this because we know that there are millions of people who need to be able to go in to an office without an appointment. But it has been protocol for a few years that you do need an appointment. I will also say, though, the one part that I do think, because we have a little bit more data than you, the level of wait time is something that no one has experienced before. So the average wait time previously was 12 minutes. At the beginning of the Biden administration, it was 42 minutes. When Commissioner O'Malley took over, it was 42 minutes. He's gotten it down to 12 minutes by the end of his term. And now there is no average. Data is very difficult to come by. But I was just speaking at an event with Senator Gillibrand from New York, who had a constituent who was on hold for 5 hours, 2 days in a row, right? So 5 hours and then disconnected, called back the next day, 5 hours. That is an unheard of situation at Social Security. So while it is absolutely true that, sometimes wait times, it's a thing that we deal with, we are seeing wait times that are so burdensome that they are, not real, right? Like no one could actually get through that situation. And so there are times when we feel, especially if there's been a disruption of benefits and if people have made the good faith effort to try to make the appointment and follow all of the rules and it's not working, that showing up in person can be warranted. And again, we think it's really important that people are proactive and documenting everything so that if they do need to go into an office in a sort of extraordinary circumstance, that they are saying, I tried to make the appointment and I was faced with this situation where it was not possible for me to do so. And also acknowledging that that does not lead to success every time either. There's published news reports about people being turned away, and they're in a situation that is extraordinarily burdensome, where They're told to make an appointment. They can't make an appointment because they can't get through. They show up at an office and are told they have to go home and make an appointment. They say they've already tried, and they're just not able to get through that process. That's why we're saying, you know, having your office and the federal elected caseworkers and other champions helping and pushing along is sometimes the only thing that's going to break through what is a self-created, is created by these changes within the administration itself. And it is an extremely disastrous circumstance. And the worst part of doing these calls is I wish I could say it's getting better, but everything that we're seeing and everything that people are telling us is that it's actually getting worse, which is, again, why we're saying this proactive starting. If you know you're going to need to make an appointment, you know, starting that as early as possible because there's been these really catastrophic disruptions.
That's all good advice. Good to know. I think we still have some more callers, correct, Taryn?
Yes, Senator, correct. Just a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please just press star 3 on your phone at any time. We're going to go live with Steve. Steve, you are live.
Yeah, well, I'm Steve from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Steve.
Thank you, Senator. My question is to Alex. His name is Alex. So on disability, I'm 66 in June. I don't know, with all this concern about calling them or getting an appointment, I'm not even sure I want to ask the question anymore. But so when would I go switch from disability to regular disability? And then one other question that came to mind was when this woman talked about these texts and these phone calls that you say don't ever answer them. The Trump administration wanted to toot their horn, and they posted on Truth and all these other places, this is a real one, that with all the money they're allegedly saving through this DOGE, that they can send each American $960. Now, that is like waving a piece of candy in front of a baby. I'm on a shoestring budget. And any slight change, any disruption, it could be disastrous for me, as you've mentioned. So, if I were to be getting less money switching back to regular Social Security from disability, I would not want to jeopardize that. So I'm tempted to just shut my mouth, don't do anything, just stay on disability. I'm not going to receive more or less. I can't imagine that I already do. Anyhow.
It's a great question, and I'll jump in because this one has still, you know, this is a very somber call, I know, but I will also say that Social Security is still the checks are going out. There have been disruptions. We are in a situation where we're counseling people to be vigilant, but the system is still working. And so in your specific case, if you are claiming disability benefits when you hit full retirement age, which will be either 66 or 67 for you, it will automatically switch to retirement benefits, and you don't need to do anything. So you don't need to do anything, and the benefit is going to be the same. And so it does not go up, it does not go down. All it does is switch from SSDI to OAS, and it is a seamless transition, and there's nothing that you need to do. So that's the answer to that first part. Now, the one thing I will say is that's your federal Social Security disability insurance benefit. If you have other disability benefits, those have different rules, but with your Social Security SSDI disability insurance, you don't need to do anything. It will transition automatically when you hit full retirement age, which is somewhere between 66 and 67 for you. And on the second part, again, we don't see any legal process that has been started for money to be sent out to people in any sort of, you know, extra check or anything like that. There's been a lot of things that are said, but there's been no process to indicate that that's actually going to happen. You know, as an advocate, I would say that because of the disruption and the fear and the service disruptions that have already happened, there should be checks going out to every single American. But we are not seeing any of the legal process that would be necessary for that to happen. So if federal monies are going to be spent, there would need to be some act of Congress that allowed that to happen. Now, again, we're not saying it's not going to happen. We just know it's not happening right now. And you would have to watch the federal legislative process right now, and it would have to be included in something else that was passed and signed into law for that to actually happen.
Well, that's at least some good news. That's going to happen automatically, so you don't have to worry about doing that, Dave, I hope.
Yes, that is the that's the answer on SSDI to old age OA. It's automatic.
Some things work. That's good to know for sure. Taryn, any more calls? I think we're getting close to the end here.
Yep. We can go live with Linda. Linda, you are live.
Can you hear me? I'm on a speakerphone.
Yes, Linda. Go ahead.
I just have a general question. I've had a conversation recently with several people who were concerned about things that they've heard, and I don't know what their sources were, but must you actually report in person to a local Social Security office to confirm the fact that you're a legitimate Social Security recipient in order to continue getting your benefits?
We have had no indication that that has occurred yet. There are some indications that the DOGE changes will push things of that nature, and we have fought vigorously against those because it's an incredible burden on people. There's very few situations where a person, especially in retirement, there's very few situations where a person needs to, in person, prove that they are still able to receive their benefits. The main one is at 115 years of age, a person needs to actually prove that they're still alive. That's an automatic thing. But that is a very small number of people. It's zero right now, but that is an automatic 115. There's an automatic cutoff. Other than that, outside of disability, there is no indication that people are needing to show up in their office. There have been a lot of extremely confusing news reports that are leading people to believe that they do need to show up in person. And this is, you know, I think an incredible disaster in and of itself, because for 90 years, Social Security just pays its benefits regular as, you know, anything. It's in full, on time. Social Security works. It is this beautiful, efficient system. But now there's all these questions. And so we have not seen any indication that you do need, that people need to go in person. But again, if anybody is receiving anything or they're hearing something, the way to deal with that is to, and I know that it's not always possible for some people, but to go online into your Social Security account, and there will be an official message if there's any sort of need to do a determination or anything of that nature. But again, in retirement, we have not seen any of that. In disability, there are a lot of different things that situations where people do need to actually be in contact and go into an office. Those official correspondences will always be delivered by the U.S. Postal Service, so it'll be a letter addressed to the person. It'll be on official letterhead, and it'll say exactly what a person needs to do. Most of those are also a regular situation where people have been doing determinations for a while. There has been reports that there's an uptick in them. Sorry, I know I ran out of time.
We're right almost on the witching hour. We could have gone on a lot longer. That's a good question, though, and I think the discussion overall has been great. And I'd like to thank you, Alex Lawson, for joining us this evening. And thank you to everybody who participated in our telephone town hall, those who've listened and those who asked questions and gave us suggestions. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. And if you have any additional questions or concerns, feel free to call my office at 610-929-2151 or visit my website, senatorschwenk.com. Again, thanks, everybody, for joining us, and good night.